Talofala here too, Malo Elele, Talofalava, and welcome to the Well with Anahila show. I am Sally Ikinofo and I will be your host, standing in for Anahila today. Our guest today is Josiah Tu'alamali'i. Josiah is a young Samoan changemaker set on inspiring youth advocacy in his community. He sits on a number of boards and is advocating for Pacifica youth and ensuring young Pacifica people's ideas and perspectives are considered by decision makers. Josiah is the recipient of the 2016 Prime Minister's Pacific Youth Award for Leadership and Inspiration. At 18, he became the chairperson of the Pacific Youth Leadership and Transformation Council, which he helped establish. He helped develop the University of Canterbury's Pacific Strategy, mentors, is part of the Youth Voice Canterbury Network, and co-developed the I Speak Forums and the Christchurch Pacifica STEM, which is Science, Technology, Engineering and Maths funnel. Thank you, Josiah, for making time to come on our show today.
Oh, takalofalahi atu, Sally, and takalofalava ma loelele to everyone who's listening. It's nice to have a bit of time with you.
Great. Now, Josiah, would you like to introduce yourself and give us the background of the Pacific Youth Leadership and Transformation Council and why it is important to have our Pacific youth participate in something like this?
Sure. Well, I grew up in Otapoti in Dunedin. That's where I was born. Dad moved over to Aotearoa from Samoa when he was 17 in the late 80s, and he met my mum, and so that's where I grew up. And then we moved to Christchurch a little bit later. The reason I say that is that's a big part of why Pilot was important for me a little bit later on. I was born here in New Zealand, had never been to Samoa before, even though sometimes people would often ask me as a kid, oh, when are you going home? And the big thing for me was New Zealand was my first time.
You are home.
I grew up here. Exactly. And so Pilot became really important when I was 14. There was this opportunity that the government at the time and Pacific communities wanted to create a space for Pacific youth voice to be heard. And it was so important that those of us like myself who were young back then could actually see something positive about our identity. I mean, you'll probably know up your way, and sometimes what we see on TV about our communities is not who we are, but it makes
isn't always positive, eh?
Mm. No, and so for us, we were like, we don't. Like, you know, in Christchurch or in Dunedin, you know, we sort of make up 2-3% of the population. So we can't see ourselves in the community. We can't see ourselves in the national media or anything. And so they just made the space for us to affirm who we were and then share our voice. And pretty much since then, we've set up a charity and Pilot now an independent organisation. What we do is we empower Pacific youth voice in all worlds. And so we had a young guy come to us in 2017, end of 2017, and he wanted to change some of the rules at the New Zealand Parliament so that Ifakanga, so our Samoan and other Pacific formal wear, or for Fiji, the Sulu, would be worn as part of the formal dress code at Parliament, or the Tauwala, or any of the Aloha, any of our cultural wear. And so we put that to them, and that changed. And we've supported young people who want their school to better understand who they are. And so they've changed their uniform policies, and we've all kinds of things. So we've helped the Ministry of Foreign Affairs understand what Pacific young people think, and work with hospitals so that they better are able to communicate to Pacific young people. But basically, we sound real formal, but we're pretty much, there's 13 of us. We're under 24 mostly. And we might be Pacific nerds, but we're just a group of volunteers, really. Mm.
That's awesome. You may have answered this, but it's one of my questions. So why is it important to have our Pacific youth participate in something like this?
Yeah, well, I think if I answer that, but also talk about it more broadly, mm-hmm. You know, we're such a small part of Aotearoa's population, 8.1%. And that's when we look at ourselves as one group, when, you know, often we aren't. we are Samoan, we are Tongan, we are Niuean.
Right.
At the same time, we might be Pacific. And so as Pacific Yolngu people, which mostly 8% of us are under 22, or our median age is 22,
right.
That's a big part of us who might not have a voice in the decisions about our community. And so we have an opportunity to be a strong community by lifting all the voices. And what impact they could have would be if 8% of us were speaking out on any issue that mattered to us.
Right.
The government and other leaders, or businesses, if we don't like what they're doing, like the newspaper, look at what happened in the last week with the Otago Daily Times,
yes,
and their racist
right.
cartoon. You know, when we come together, that's right. And when we come together and we say that we think something is racist or we think something hurts our communities, the 8% of us becomes a really strong force, even if we're, we might not always be Pacific. Pacific might be a definition rather than, we might operate as Samoan Nuan. But I think if we can increase Pacific youth voice, then we increase the voice of our community. And so mentoring Pacific young people to speak into decisions is the best way to prepare our community to live the Pacific future New Zealand needs.
Yeah, absolutely, and totally agree with you there.
Thanks.
Okay. How have you found Pacific youth to join the council?
Yeah.
And what leadership opportunities have come from involvement at that level?
Absolutely. So we're a charitable trust. So we formed as a board, adopting some of the formal Pākehā structures to then be able to receive funding for our work. Some of the opportunities that our trustees have helped create have been hosting the Second Pacific Youth Parliament, which we hosted in 2017 in Christchurch. We run a project called iSpeak, where we get decision makers to meet with Pacific young people in Christchurch about any issue that might be important at the time. We had quite a big one last year on the end of life bill. Anahila and others in Parliament were speaking very strongly about how Pacific peoples across Aotearoa wanted to be heard and whether people should be able to end their life if they're terminally unwell.
Right.
And then other issues such as what New Zealand's funding in the Pacific should be like. And so we've all kinds of things. Every 6 weeks we bring the experts in, have a debate and collect Pacific young people's voice on that. We also support Pacific young people to share what they think should change in whatever area that is. And so one area has been we've got lots of youth councils and youth organisations in our region, but often they don't have Pacific young people who are on their boards or part of their work. And
that's
so we
right,
have
yeah.
supported Pacific youth to take those roles and to then try and have that cultural safety. And I think you probably know from the work you see, Sally, that at times if we're all by ourselves, it can be very hard to say what we really think.
That's right, yes. You've got to have the confidence to speak up at these conversations.
Mm. And I guess also it's like the confidence and I get the practice too. And so we sort of help create those spaces where they can practice speaking out. Because that's something, like I know for my own leadership journey, a lot of it was informal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't notice it's happening.
Yes.
The dad and the aunties in the community
yeah.
and others.
Your parents and your family are there to encourage
right.
you.
Exactly. And so we draw on that. But at the same time, we also share some of the other things to a broader audience, because sometimes our younger people might not get the same mentoring, and so we try
that's
and...
That's right. They don't get the same opportunities as you've
right.
obviously got, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Okay, next question. What are your plans for the Pacific Youth Leadership and Transformation Council in 2020?
Yeah, well, probably the biggest thing will be around the election. So next year, we've got another election coming up where Anahila and others will stand and some other Pacific people may stand who aren't currently in Parliament, and we will help raise awareness about the election and try and ensure Pacific young people's ideas are put before our politicians. We hosted a leaders debate at last election with the Honourable Alfred Nuttall and Aupito Sir William Seale.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd hopefully love to host a Pacific leaders debate again, who knows, but...
Right.
Yeah, those kinds of things, and also to support other Pacific young people across New Zealand who want to run activities. So
yes.
There's a group in Porirua in the Wellington region called the Brown Caucus, and they are raising Pacific and Māori young people's views there around participation in the elections and other things. Yeah. And we do this without our own political view. We just try and make the space, but we'll support them and anyone else. But please, if people wanted to do something next year and wanted some of what we've learnt in the past, we'd love to share that with you.
Oh, that's great. And obviously there's the local government elections as well, which we've just had this year. Now, for next year's election, do you know of any of your group maybe that maybe are thinking of putting their hand up to stand next year or thinking about
it? At the moment that I've heard of, I think one of the interesting things about the way we set up our organisation was that we all sort of made an informal commitment to focus on participation of our community. So we don't, we don't endorse any candidate or any. We haven't had anyone in our group who stood before, but that's because we've often tried to just say we just want our 8.1% of us just to participate. We don't mind if you where you participate, if you vote for one party or not, but we'd just love you to share your voice, because New Zealand is a Polynesian country, and at times we don't have across all the parties sometimes the strength of Pacific voice. It's great at the moment, we do, but that's conditional on lots of factors, and so if we're not keeping our voice up, then sometimes parties might not choose to have Pacific candidates, or they might not choose to have Pacific people in leadership roles, and so we have to encourage that and advocate for that, and when we don't see it, call it out.
Great. Okay. I think the Pacific population is the fastest growing and will grow in the years to come. I'm sure I've heard Aupito say that in some of his speeches, that we are the fastest growing group in New Zealand.
It's so true, and it's such an important thing to think about as well, because I guess one thing I've really liked about living in the South Island is how Ngāi Tahu, our iwi down here, are preparing for the future. So they have like a 50-year plan, but they're thinking about, their children's 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 children and their well-being. And as you're sort of saying, and as Aupito has been talking about, by like 2038, half of New Zealand is going to be brown. And we know the experiences many of us have had, you, me, Sally, and others, and we really want to make the future that's going to ensure that they don't have the same experiences, that they can flourish. And so if we think about participating to protect the future for them, it's another reason
this is the time to start, yeah. And I think we've been here long enough to be able to hold our own.
Totally,
out there in the, the wider community.
Yeah, and that's been such a good thing to see. Like, it's becoming a very mainstream thing, even for the very, very small parties to have Pacific candidates in some of the higher positions. And then for our more established parties, for Pacific candidates to get significant portfolios, it's great, because we are trusted people.
Yeah.
And as you say, New Zealand needs it, because we've got to have these relationships with Pacific people here, but across the region. And it's been good seeing Aupito and others being drawn on to support the measles epidemic response, and many other different things.
That's right.
That's who we are. We are Pacific, even if New Zealand sometimes doesn't
recognise it. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
And we do have a lot to contribute. All right, Josiah, you're on some other boards as well. Can you tell us about those roles?
Yeah, sure. So one of the ones that some of you listening might know about most would be LEVAR. So LEVAR, lead mental health and wellbeing.
Yeah, that's right.
As well as a number of other things up in Auckland for our Pacific communities. And pretty much they're trying to bring what we know from our traditional ways of being into today's context, which is really cool. Because I think sometimes we forget, I know as a Pacific young person myself, because I haven't always had the opportunity to learn them, just how grounding and how helpful the older ways of doing things can be. And it's just sometimes being able to unpack them now. Like, one thing LEVAR does really well is they've got this tool called RTD.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, you might even have this with yourself, Sally, where younger Pacific people or children might talk to you or other aunties in the community about what's going on, just because that's something that we've done for centuries and we may not have always known. And so they've tried to create an online a website people can go to talk through problems that they might have and get help. Right. You know, for Pacific young people, belongingness is one of the big challenges, and they've also found that sleep is a big challenge, and so they can help you with those things. And Levar does trainings for Balangi staff also about how
they cater for the wider community, don't they?
That's right. Yeah. So they do some pretty cool stuff. And then I guess one other group I'm working with is the Rata Foundation, which is down here in Canterbury, and they sort of are a community trust. So they have this money to look after for the community, and each year they give out a big amount of money in Nelson, Canterbury, Marlborough and the Chatham Islands. But the reason I mention this particular group is because there's one in Auckland that, and then there's others across the country who give out millions of dollars a year, and our Pacific communities don't often apply for this money. This money is not like other organisations where you might have to always provide so many reports and so many other things.
I think our people struggle with the paperwork and the process. Yeah. Definitely. Of applying and the accountability statements at the end of it all.
Very much so. And that's something I'm trying to help change. Because why has it always stayed these ways? We had our own accountability processes in the Pacific, and, you know, and some of those have been have worked really well. And so we've got to try and bring them into New Zealand and more. But I guess in Auckland, there's been a really cool thing with the community trust up there, where they got Pacific young people to choose how they would spend a big portion of money. And so, you know, just being aware of what they're doing, it's called Foundation North. That might be money that your, you know, Pacific youth group or your church group or your community group or your Pacific organisation could get. And often it might be have broader impact because you can actually design with them what that's spent on rather than be told.
Yeah, that's right. Right, thank you. Now, you went to Uganda this year.
I did.
How did you find the trip? Who did you meet and what did you take away from that experience?
So I applied with a friend called Sarah to go to the Commonwealth conference in Uganda. It was on how parliaments can be the best that they can be. And Anahila was there. I saw her and I met Lulu the Ruru.
Yes. her travelling mate.
Yeah. And that was really interesting. Oh, just as a wee comment, a lot of people from all around the world loved the little Morpork and wanted photos.
That's awesome.
But I think the cooler thing I loved was Anahila is unashamedly a Tonga New Zealander. And when she spoke, I was there when she spoke, and I was there when other people from New Zealand spoke as well. She'd, you know, speak in the reo, speak a bit in Tongan, mm-hmm. speak in English, give a waiata at the end of her talk. I was really proud of the way that, you know, she could show being Pacific, our Indigenous heritage here in New Zealand, our Tangata Whenua's story, and also...
And include her Pacific culture as well. Yeah,
that was really cool. And but I guess one of the things that was being talked about, and that the reason I went, was around youth unemployment. And in the Commonwealth, there is a big number, about 60% of all the people in the 53 countries that make up the Commonwealth are young people, and so they're very worried about how, particularly in Uganda where they hosted the conference, and other countries, how young people don't have the same employment opportunities. And I guess as someone from New Zealand, even though Pacific young people and Pacific families can have a hard time getting work or maintaining work, it does, when we have a welfare system and across our political parties and things, they at the very minimum, they want some sort of welfare support, whether they agree on everything. In Uganda, hearing from these young people who have no financial support when things get tough, or they just can't get any work and they haven't been able to get work for years, is something that's, it really did make me appreciate how blessed we are. Not to say that, we don't remember that New Zealand's a country of milk and honey is dead and others say, but just, yeah. And so I guess for us, I think, as Pacific New Zealanders and Indigenous to our region, we have an opportunity to continue to encourage our government and governments across the Pacific to keep finding new ways to give young people work, because it's not just, in their view at the conference, it's very much a youth issue, unemployment.
Right. Who did you meet? Who are some key people that you met during that time?
One of the people I met was the Speaker of the Ugandan Parliament. She was quite a funny lady. She was a very good dancer, and I found it quite funny talking to her, because she had.
Well, I hope you matched her in the dancing.
I definitely had gave it a go.
Fly the flag for New Zealand.
I definitely gave it a go. She had a different way of talking, and I think this is definitely like some of our elders, where they will just say exactly what they're thinking. So she had told everyone at the conference to sit down when you're eating. Do not take people to their rooms. Just say goodbye in the lobby. Like all kinds of.
Well, she's straight up front, eh?
It was very upfront and just reminded me of our mātua. But I guess probably in terms of the people I met who were learning, I was learning from Khadija, a young woman from United Kingdom. She works in the communications at their parliament.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Talking to her about how they tell the story of what's happening, and I guess today as we're talking, the UK parliament is having their election. So
that's right,
it's very
yeah.
interesting to hear how they do that. They have similar education programs like our one, and they have this game actually, this online game that you can play to understand politics, but it's not really about that. They've sort of made it around a day in the life of an MP, and
right.
it's, you have to manage your work and all kinds of things. It's quite fun. So that it's neat hearing how they make Parliament interesting.
Great. And what did you take away from that experience? What did you come away with?
The big thing was that something Anahila said to me, and I really appreciated the talk we had, was around we as Pacific New Zealanders have an opportunity to help, to share who we are on a deeper level with New Zealand. And one of the ways to do that would be when we talk about our identity, to bring New Zealanders with us, we can say that we're Samoan New Zealanders or that we're Tongan New Zealanders.
Right.
And it might seem like a small thing, but I can see what she's saying. At times, you know, we're not seen, and even when people were asking me as a kid, and still do now, when are you next going home? One of the ways we can change that narrative is by claiming New Zealand as a Pacific country
yeah.
at the same time as saying who we are too.
Exactly, and being proud of who we are and where we come from.
Definitely, yeah. That was one thing that stood out. From the people in Uganda and their parliament, they had over 400 members of parliament.
Wow, and, that's a lot.
And it is. And they didn't have many women members of parliament. I guess...
So the men still dominate.
They do. And that was probably another thing that came to me. Are we doing enough to support our women's voice in parliament and other places? And we know we're not. And as a man, that's something that for me, I never want to get comfortable with, and being there reminded me of that.
Right. Especially nowadays. I mean, we should be equal.
Exactly.
In everything that we do.
Totally. And we're not. So that's,
It's something so, we need. That's something that your group could work on for the future.
Yes, absolutely. And we're trying. We're really blessed to have Maria Pula, who's our chair. And a strong women's caucus and pilot, including right. Melissa Lama, who you may have come across. She's working with young mums and their well-being down in Dunedin. And the Prince Harry and Meghan Markle wanted to meet with her when they came to New Zealand. So, we've got some very cool people who are doing that work. Mm.
That's awesome. Right, okay, our show is about health and well-being. So what do you do to keep well? Hobbies and keeping healthy, I guess.
Yeah, well, I do a lot of work in mental health. I did some work for the government last year on mental health and addictions, doing a big review on what's happening with five other awesome New Zealanders, mm-hmm. including Dr. Jemima Teatesit, who's from Auckland University. And I guess if I was to give an answer based on what Pacific people told me there and then also say what I do, I'd love to. But I think the first thing was Pacific peoples last year talked to us about how we need to do what we would want to do. And so one thing was the, like, if we were to make life like a village, and not to say that some of us aren't already doing that, but, you know, Western structures and Western approaches might tell us we need to be individuals, but actually, if we want to be in our communities, and that's what keeps us well, that's what helps me being well, being with my family. I live with my brother, which is so cool. We only just started to be able to do that in the last couple of months, and that's been a really wonderful thing. And so I guess what I think our community were telling us last year and what I do with my own life is we just have to have our own version of success.
Yeah, having good support around us, and that's family, isn't it? And friends, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And then I might do some reading or, try not to turn on, if the news is becoming too depressing at times or social media is taking up too much time, switch it off for a while, and then, reach out when things aren't going so well. Also see a counsellor every now and again, and that helps. So, yeah, I think, you know, whether it's being with our mātua, you speaking our languages, whether it's, seeing a medical professional to help look at our head, strengthen our mental fitness, or whether it's...
And sharing, I think, sometimes helps. Sharing, just talking, having a friend that you can talk to and confide in.
Definitely. Yeah. And at Christmas time, giving helps
a
lot, I think.
Yep, absolutely.
And then also being comfortable to receive a gift from someone.
Right.
I think also, though, in that we've... And I hear, you know, Lowell and Michael Jones and others talking about it, that we sometimes, we've got to be careful in our giving too, so that we don't give beyond what we can afford.
You're not overdoing it.
And that makes us unwell. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. And give what you can and what you can afford.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's important to share that time. Right, well, we're getting close to the end of our show, Josiah, so... I just want to ask, is there anything else in the works for you this year? What else have you got lined up? Well, the year's nearly finished, so.
Yeah, I think the one little thing that I've got to do before the end of the year is graduate.
I'll
graduate with my degree next week. But apart from that, that's
awesome. That's awesome.
So it's been a good ride. I've had such great support from my family, but also the Pacific development team at my uni, University of Canterbury.
Right.
Took a little bit of time, and I had to take some time off for my mental health, but in the end, might have taken 5 years to do a 3-year degree, but it's done.
Well, you've done it, yes. It doesn't matter how long. So what are you graduating in?
I have a degree in history and politics.
Oh, awesome. Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah. I guess for our listeners, you know, university is a great place to learn a little bit more about who you are and about the world. But I would also say that, if it's not who you are, being a doctor, lawyer or nurse or any of those roles that might have been seen as success is, for me anyway, is not success. If it's not who you are, I'd much rather you did what your purpose felt you called to do. And actually, what I get to do now, I work on these different boards and in community. As a kid, I could never have imagined... But that's what our community needs as well. So sometimes... Well,
congratulations on completing your degree. And thank you for coming on the show. And wish you the very best for Christmas and a Happy New Year. And hope to talk to you again. So whakau ilahi and God bless.
Oh, whakau ilahi. I had some new Aotearoa last night.
Oh, awesome.
Enjoying some more over the summer. But
great.
Much love to you all.
Thank you very much, Josiah. Whakau ilahi.